If you're someone who has ever thought, I would love to read a book, have a girls' night out, sleep in, whatever it is, if you feel pressed for time, or if you feel like you never have enough time, I've got 5 time-saving hacks for you, and I think number 5 is the best one. So make sure that you listen all the way to the end. The thing is, with 9 kids, I get it. You're being pulled in all kinds of directions, but these 5 things are so simple and so powerful that today can be a turning point for you. And that really is the best part. You can start using these things today. And when you do, you'll look back on your day and say, man, I was a rock star today. You'll go to bed feeling accomplished, proud of yourself for so many things beyond what we talk about here today. And you'll find yourself feeling more contentment and more joy. What could be better? With that, let's dive in. This is the Intentional Mom Podcast. Well, hey there, I am Jennifer Roskamp, a certified life coach and homeschool mom of 9 who is passionate about helping women just like you embrace the here and now while also being focused on creating the life you actually want. In reality, it's not about thinking life will get so much better or so much easier when you fill in the blank. Let's work on creating a life you love now. So let's dive in and get started on redefining Supermom to be someone who is present, intentional, and content rather than perfect in our homes, in our lives, and in our own skin. Let's get started. This is the Intentional Mom Podcast. Okay. So we are going to talk about some time-saving hacks today, but we're actually going to start off by first talking about some time stealers, because there are some sneaky time stealers, things you're likely doing that are taking your valuable time that you're not even realizing. And so we're going to talk about a couple of those, and then I've got these 3 time-saving hacks for you as well. So we're going to cover lots of ground in a short amount of time today, but I guess that's good since we're talking about saving time in this podcast. So grab something to write with so you can take notes and put these things into practice today. If you do these 3 things I share with you today and avoid doing the 2 things I share here as well, you will be on fire today. You will look back on your day and say, man, I did it today. So after all, I mean, why don't we want to be the boss of our own day? You can be the boss of your day today. So let's jump in and get started. So I've got these 2 things to avoid because they are stealing your time. So we're going to start here. Number 1, stop overthinking. I didn't say stop thinking. I said stop overthinking. Thinking is good. Data collection, planning, weighing the pros and cons, these things are all good. But you're likely thinking your way out of the doing. So in fact, sometimes we even do this on purpose. We allow ourselves to think and plan and collect data because we're, quote, working on it, unquote. But we're actually not doing anything at some point. But we don't want to have to face that truth, the truth that I'm really not doing it. And so again, we kind of dupe ourselves into the fact that we're taking action with all of this thinking and overthinking and thinking and overthinking. The majority of women I ask about this do say that when it comes to most things, they have a tendency to overthink. So it is with this in mind that I say you're likely overthinking things fairly often, and this is wasting your time. So just get in there and do it already. That's number 1. Number 2, stop over expecting. When it comes to getting stuff done, we also have a tendency to expect more than is possible or more than is even necessary. For instance, I don't fold my kitchen towels or rags. I just shove them into the drawer. I don't have the time to care about that. Maybe at some point I will, but for now and for many, many, many years in the past, I have not had the time to worry about that. Nothing against those who do, but for me, this is just one of those things that has had to continuously be on the it doesn't matter list. We don't pair socks in our family, except for maybe once every few weeks, or let's be honest, sometimes longer. There was even a season where we as a family didn't even fold our laundry most of the time. We were just in a busy, stressful season as a family, and no one had time to worry about that detail. We fold laundry now, and if you're someone who folds your laundry and is very meticulous about that, my mom is one of those people, you're probably cringing right now at the thought that we didn't fold our laundry. You know, we took care of the important stuff, but most of it really didn't matter beyond that, and so we literally did not fold that. But again, it just had to be what we were doing for that point. That was a season. And so the same thing can be true for you. Sometimes there's certain things that you need to adapt to or adopt for a season. And so if taking a major shortcut or avoiding doing something altogether needs to happen sometimes because of the season you're in, well, then that might be the way it has to be for you too. And here's what I realized. No one actually came to my house with a clipboard to give me an F on folding laundry for that period of time. It was just fine. But we tend to overexpect and overcommit ourselves, and especially in ways that just can't matter for right now. So keep an eye on your expectations and keep an eye out for shortcuts or time-saving hacks like what I shared about myself that you might need to take at certain times in certain seasons to have more time, to buy yourself time for some of the other things that just can't get put onto that it just doesn't matter list. Certain things can go there. Certain things can't. I couldn't stop making meals. I couldn't stop grocery shopping. I couldn't stop driving my kids where they needed to go. I couldn't stop working, right? All these things we were still doing. But during that busy season, that was something that had to go on that list, and we survived just fine. So stop overexpecting and stop overcommitting. That's number two. So we've covered the two things not to do. We've covered the two things that can kind of steal your time. So let's jump in with three time-saving hacks. These are things that I talk about all of the time in my coaching program, Accomplished Lifestyle. These are things that are tried and true. Hundreds, maybe for sure thousands of women have heard of these hacks from me. Maybe even you've heard of some, but now's a great time to dust them off. Make sure that you are actually using these. If you're someone, again, who says, I never have enough time, or I wish I had time for X, Y, or Z. Okay, so the first thing you're going to do is you're going to work with a timer. And I am not the only person who says this. I am reminded of this every time I interview someone for a summit or the podcast, and we talk about time management for moms, or we talk about, you know, moms who feel overburdened, or women who are working, and just, you know, kind of the never ending plight that women are in with juggling all of the things these days. And when we talk about ways to help offset that, ways to save time, working with a timer is something that comes up time and time and time again. So it really is something that's worth paying attention to. When I think about when I use a timer, when I think about how it's useful for myself, I think I know myself, and I think many of us are kind of competitive by nature. And so when you're working with a timer, there's just kind of this whole beat the clock mentality that just kind of sets us into place, sets us into motion. And it just kind of makes us want to try to race to get as much done as we can. I think that's part of why it's helpful. I know for myself as well, when we work with a timer, we have a very clear time boundary. A time boundary is just basically like a time block, right? If you have time boundaries around a task or something you're going to do, you have a very clear starting point, but you also have this very clear ending point. So with a timer, you've got this very clear ending time boundary. So there's no question as to how long am I going to work on this? You know, I am only going to work on this for the amount of time that is on this timer. And if you're ever someone who, as a kid, maybe you sat in school and you were watching the clock and you were wondering, oh my gosh, when is recess going to come? Or when is the school day going to end? And you sat and you watched the clock. You were very much, you knew when that time boundary was as you were watching that time block, time clock tick down. And you were very aware of how much longer you had to sit in that class or how much longer you had to wait for recess or as an adult. Right? When you know when lunchtime is coming or when you know when the end of the workday is coming, you have that very clear boundary in many, many cases. And you are looking so forward to that ending time and you know exactly when it is. And when you know that, here's where that becomes useful. When you know when your end point is, it makes it much easier to be in the moment. It makes it much easier to get through what you're doing because you know when that end point is. A lot of times it's really hard for us to ask ourselves to do things when it feels open-ended and when we feel like it's never going to be done. This is especially true when we have a bigger project or task to take on. And maybe it is a very large task that you're going to be working on with this timer. But for right now, you're just working on this piece of it. You set that timer for 20 minutes, or you set that timer for a half hour, or you set that timer for, we're going to talk about this in number four. I'm just about to get there. But you set that timer and you know exactly how long you're going to be working. And that makes it, that gives you that feeling of completion. Even if you're in the middle of a long task, a multifaceted project or task that you're not getting done with today. But when you work with a timer, you have that time container, you have that time boundary. And when you work on that project or that task for the allotted amount of time that's on your timer, well, now you've completed it. You've got this sense of completion when that timer expires. And again, knowing when we're going to be done and that feeling of accomplishment, that feeling of completion when we're done, well, those are big motivators. And those are things that, again, help push us to the end and help us stay focused so that we can get to the end and kind of earn that time off. We love earned time off. So that's another reason that I think a timer is helpful. And another reason why, again, in my life, I find it's helpful to work with timers is because I know that I don't have to watch the clock. It makes me less distracted. Usually when I'm working on a task, I do have a very clearly defined time container. I know exactly how long I'm going to be working on that task for. But if I don't also have the distraction of wondering how much time is done, is time up yet? And where I'm having to look back at my clock or my watch or my phone, it's just nice to know that that timer is there and it's going to tell me exactly the moment that I can be done. And again, it just helps me stay more focused on what I'm actually doing because I know, let's be real, I know when that timer goes off, because I'm going to have that exact 10 minutes or whatever of working, I know that I am not going to have to work 1 second longer than that. Unless I choose to, because that timer is going to tell me exactly when I have completed my time container. So that's one of the, those are some of the reasons why I think a timer works, but that is one time-saving hack that is huge. And again, you can start using that today. So that brings me to the second time hack. This is actually kind of point number four of what we're talking about here today. But set that timer, work for 10 minutes or less. If you've never heard me talk about why 10 minutes, I'm going to share a little bit about that right now. I love 10 minutes. I've played around with all kinds of different time containers, different times of, you know, different time, yeah, time limits, I guess maybe you would call them, where I have put this to the task. Now, I'm not going to say that 10 minutes is necessarily going to be the magic number for you. I would suggest that you could play around with 10 minutes, with 12 minutes, with 15, 17, 20. Whatever it might be, you can play around and see if you develop a different sweet spot. But here's why I think 10 minutes is a sweet spot. By the way, you might have heard me talk about these before. I consider anything 10 minutes or less as rapid fire tasks. And I just love thinking about rapid fire. When I think about working for just 10 minutes and I kind of label it as this is a rapid fire task, that tells me, oh, this is going to be fast and furious and then it's going to be done. And there's just something psychologically that happens with that label of rapid fire task. And so if you've heard me talk about rapid fire tasks as part of the daily task list, which is a skill that we use inside Accomplished Lifestyle, and I know that I've talked about it in a lot of other places, including here on the podcast as well, but this would be, if all you're doing is setting your timer for 10 minutes, you are completing rapid fire tasks all over the place. And those are really, those are tasks that feel so good when you accomplish them. Okay, but here's kind of where I think 10 minutes becomes such a sweet spot for me and many others as well. 10 minutes, number one, it is also amazing what you can get done in 10 minutes. Let me just say that. You might think, how much can you actually get done in 10 minutes? There's quite a lot. In fact, for 30 days, I was doing a challenge in your home over on Instagram where it was called the Power of 10 Challenge. And by the way, I'm thinking of doing this in other ways too. I'm thinking of doing this challenge on Instagram, maybe for a health focus, maybe for some other focuses as well. I haven't quite decided yet, but I have been so amazed. I already knew before that challenge how much could actually get done in 10 minutes because this is something I've been doing for a long time. But doing those intentional 10-minute home tasks, and everybody could choose their own task. I wasn't assigning, hey, go clean out a kitchen cupboard today. It wasn't that sort of challenge. It literally was a challenge that said, let's see the power of 10. Let's experience that. You choose 10 minutes. You choose the task in your home. Give it 10 minutes every day for 30 days and see how much collectively you can get done. Because we can so easily discount 10 minutes and feel like, how much can you actually get done in 10 minutes? But I'm here to say a lot. And there were a lot of people who were taking that challenge, and they too would tell you a lot can get done in 10 minutes. But here's why I think it's kind of a sweet spot. Focus, right? When we are working on anything, it requires focus. And focus is one of those things that we really don't have for that long. Most people, myself included, if we are giving it 100% effort, whether we're talking about something we're using with our brain, whether the task we're working on is a thinking task, or whether it is a more physical task, a more doing task, 10 minutes to give it 100% our all, that is a pretty good limit. And we can find ourselves, again, we're still working on the thing, but after 10 minutes, now suddenly our efficiency is starting to lack a little bit. Again, not necessarily because we're doing anything wrong or because we're allowing our attention to shift elsewhere. It's just kind of the way we are as humans. When you go all in 100% effort, 10 minutes is a lot. You're gonna expend a lot of your brain power or a lot of your physical energy in 10 minutes when you're going all in. And so I find 10 minutes is part of why 10 minutes is the sweet spot is because it really is a good length of time that you can be pretty sure that you're going to be able to give it 100% and you're not going to start losing steam. But if you go longer than that, it could very well be that you could start losing steam. So I feel like for focus reasons, that's why 10 minutes is really effective. Another reason I think 10 minutes is really good is because we tend to easily get distracted. Again, these distractions happen in all ways, right? A lot of times they're external distractions, right? If you're a mom at home with kids, 10 minutes, that's kind of a long time sometimes when you think about being interrupted or distracted by someone at home. This happens at work too, right? If you're at work, right? A lot of times you can be distracted, you can be interrupted by someone. And again, 10 minutes is a decent amount of time where hopefully you're able to not have that sort of interruption, that sort of disruption. And if you do, you're able to say, ooh, I'll be able to be with you in about 3 minutes. I've got 3 minutes left that I'm working on this. I'll be with you in just a second. And you can get right back to what you were doing. Now, there was that little blip of probably efficiency that was sacrificed there because of that interruption or distraction. But if you're a mom with kids at home and you're working with a timer and you set the timer for 10 minutes and you say, no interruptions. You may not interrupt me for 10 minutes. For 10 minutes, I'm going to be working on this thing over here, and you may not interrupt me for 10 whole minutes. Now, in our house, we have the blood or vomit rule. And obviously, that sounds like exactly what it is, right? If someone is bleeding or if someone is vomiting, you may interrupt me. But aside from that, if it's not blood or vomit, You may not interrupt me until this timer goes off. And most kids, no matter their ages, are able to abide by that. Now that they might be sitting there watching the time tick down because they're just bursting at the seams to tell you something or ask you something, but that 10-minute timer can work really, really well. So I do also find that 10 minutes is pretty adequate from a disruption or interruption standpoint. And that's, again, if you push it much longer than that, and depending on your environment that you're in, again, I've got a bunch of people around me. We are a homeschooling family. Chances are, if I go much longer than 10 minutes, there is going to be something that someone is going to need me for. And so that's where I kind of have settled on that 10 minutes being a really comfortable and effective amount of time to set that timer for. So my suggestion is you set that timer and you work for 10 minutes or less and you try it out. And by all means, feel free to play around with that number a little bit or just take my 10 minutes. I love 10 minutes. It's just kind of where I've settled. So feel free to settle there as well. So the third time-saving hack I have for you, this is technically tip number 5 in what we're talking about today, is to use your pockets. What does that mean? Using your pockets means you are using every little minute of your day. You're being intentional with every minute of your day. Now hear me. I am not saying you need to be busy every single minute. You need to be doing something every single minute. You need to be doing something that yourself or most people would label as productive every single minute. I am not suggesting that you fill all of your pockets with busyness all of the time. Maybe you use some of your pockets to scroll Instagram or to nap. I have actually mastered the art of the power nap in recent months. I found just like the 10 minutes, I found the perfect amount of time for me for a nap. That's a whole different conversation. But I'm not saying though that you have to fill those with things to do. But you do have to be aware of all of your pockets of time. Again, thinking back to that 10 minutes where sometimes the question I get asked is, how much can you actually get done in 10 minutes? Well, that question can also be asked, how much can I get done in this 2 minutes? I'm just going to let this 2 minutes kind of fall along the wayside and I'll just do whatever I feel like doing in the moment. That's not really intentionally using that pocket of time. You want to intentionally choose how you are going to fill every pocket of time. If you are someone who says, I never have time for X, Y, or Z, or I wish I had time for this, that, or the other thing, and you aren't filling all of your pockets, I would tell you, look for all of those pockets and start putting some of those things in there. Start rearranging some of the other things that you do to perhaps be left with bigger pockets of time that you can then insert tasks and things to do, or maybe it's that productive rest. That's a whole nother conversation that I have often and will have here, I'm sure. But there is all kinds of ways to fill those pockets. It does not mean busyness, but it does mean don't overlook, don't discount, don't give away time that you would rather use for something else because you're telling me, man, I wish I had time for X, Y, or Z. If you're someone who tells me I don't ever have time for a particular thing, or I can't find time to X, Y, or Z, I'm going to ask you, have you filled all of your pockets? And if you haven't, there you go, right there. I just helped you by just asking you a question. So use all of those pockets of time. By the way, probably one of the first things you're going to have to do in order to know if you're filling your pockets is to do like a time audit. It's to create like a time log and kind of track your time for a while. Track all of those moments. Where are they all going? You can't manage your time better and save time if you don't know where your time is going. So that might be the first step that you have to take. But it's all about filling those pockets of time every little minute with the things that you intend and want to fill them with. That's what it's all about. So all of the 5 things that I've shared with you are things you can do today. So I challenge you to these things. 1, stop thinking about something you're supposed to do and just do it instead. 2, make sure that your expectations are realistic for you today. What does this need to be today in order for you to work on this? Then set a timer to work for just 10 minutes and get working. And finally, look for any pockets. I challenge you to find two pockets that you would have glossed over otherwise and use those intentionally. Fill those with something that you actually want or need to fill those with today. Again, rather than just dismissing those and letting those fall off the radar. So that's what I had for you today. I will look forward to talking with you again in the next episode when we talk about something really, really at the heart of many, many women. So until we talk again, have an amazing day. All right, so you have to take action on those things that I just told you to do, those steps I just told you to take. But let me tell you first about what we're going to be talking about next time on the Intentional Mom Podcast. So next episode is our Ask a Life Coach episode, where we'll be talking about what it's like to deal with the fear of failing and when this, especially when this fear can paralyze you from taking any sort of action. We're going to talk about how to look at that, how to reframe it, and how to move forward from it so that you're not stuck, paralyzed on the starting line. Until next time, have an amazing, intentional day. We'll see you in the next episode.